Hey, music lover, you are listening to WRCT Pittsburgh, WRCT.org. Been listening to our tribute to Sly Stone, various selections that we've heard. Music lover, taking it back there some years ago. Also, Sly, when he was on the radio at KSOL 190 in 1967. Yeah, 1967. KSOL, Sly Stone on the radio. Vet Stone, little sister, talking about Sly and how they moved on. And even Cynthia was sitting in and she gave her 2 cents worth as well. Sly and his family Stone danced to the music at Woodstock. Also, music from Miles Davis, Hollywood, and Helen Butt. Yeah, and that's from the complete On the Corner Sessions, 1972. Papa's got a brand new bag, Mr. James Brown. Yes, indeed. And also some music from Live at the Fillmore East. Sly and the Family Stone. I believe that was from 1967, if I'm not mistaken. I'll go back and look it up and make the corrections if possible. But yeah, we're here and we got a lot more for you, so stay with us.
Check it out. Stepping out and moving up is what you want. This is Larry Graham. Welcome to the SoulPatrol.net. RADIOIO. Everybody I see, I don't owe.
This is Bob Davis. We're riding on the A-Train going up to Harlem with Sly and the Family Stone. Go ahead, Freddie. Mr. Freddie Stone.
Hello, everybody. How y'all doing?
Very good. Thank you very much. I'm here with Adam's Rip, Blanche Valentine.
What's up?
We were right in the middle of a conversation talking about how people should think about the Family Stone going forward. Because you're not dead. Matter of fact, Freddie's got a new CD out, which we're going to talk about a little later. But Fred, you've given us some of your thoughts on how you want to, you know, perceive the band going forward.
Well, in my view, the Family Stone is getting together to work out a situation where we want to continue on. One of the things that Sly said that was very profound, you know, in one of our hits was, I want to take you higher. And I believe that the Family Stone can continue that on and take people higher. My brother's a genius. He's resting right now, and so he has not taken the people higher, but he stated that he wanted to, and so we know that it can be done, so we can keep up what he has begun and take the people higher or to another level. I believe the Family Stone is yet have within them elements that would cause them to yet pioneer roads that other artists perhaps have not gone down, simply because we're not tired, we're not through, and we still see something. You know, we're not dreaming yet. There still is a vision. You know, they say when you start dreaming, you know, the vision is over, and now you're just wishing that you could do something. Well, we're still visionaries, and we're still doing things, and so the vision is not quite complete. So I think the Family Stone has a great deal to offer, but I think I would warn the public that the Family Stone, and it looks like we're coming out with something very new and fresh. I would tell you to, sister, brother, you're going to be pleasantly surprised, because the energy is there. The same music that you enjoyed when you were younger, you're going to enjoy it again. Everything is going to be there, but it's going to be coming from a fresh Family Stone. Even though we're older, the music is yet going to be fresh, because for some reason or another, and I think it's providential, that we are fresher than we were when we first started. And I think it has a lot to do with just living, learning, and learning from your mistakes, but growing, going through the struggles, and coming out on the other side victorious. To us, we have purpose. When we were younger, we played because we just loved to play. when we're playing now, we're playing because we have purpose. We have a lot of friends and not to mention family members, but that's a small part of it. We have an obligation to what I consider to be our fans, to say something to them. We want to let them know that they didn't do wrong by being our fans, and that we love them, and we want to do something for them. We want to let them know that we are alive and well, and we want to share something with them that will be beneficial to them in years to come. Is that because everybody's a star? That's because everybody is a star, and Stan, and in the end, you'll still be you.
Well, listen, you know, I don't want to dwell on, you know, anything negative, but you did mention your brother.
Yes.
He's not here with us today. Mm-hmm. Is he going to be a part of this, or is that still, you know, an open question?
Sly is like a friend of mine said last night. Sly is Sly. He's in Beverly Hills. He's doing well. Last time I talked to him, he told me, he said, Freddie, I got about 100 songs. Now, Sly is doing basically what he wants to do. I told one brother there are two things that would cause Sly to get motivated. One, a divine experience. Two, the family stone in the studio rehearsing. Okay, and I think one or two of those things would cause him to come out and do something.
Well, you know, my view is that, you know, we would all like to hear and see him again, but, you know, we're all just happy if the brother is just happy with himself and within himself and for himself, and that's really all any of us want or need out of life.
Amen. I agree, and he is. He's happy with himself. He's doing what he wants to do when he gets ready to do it. He goes where he wants to go. You know, it's kind of like, you know, after a while, some of the engagements that he made, it got to the point where I hear ball players saying, you know, it stopped being fun. You know, I think for Sly, it stopped being fun for whatever reason, you know. And when it gets like that for a musician, that means, you know, no purpose is gone. You know, it takes purpose for anyone to be successful or to go forth with a drive, you know, with the magnetism, with you know, with electricity, you know. But for him, if someone was to say, you know, come on, Sly, we'll give you this much money, well, that doesn't mean anything to him. Come on, we'll put you up in the limousine, you know, stretch, that doesn't mean anything to him. We'll do that doesn't mean anything to him. You know, he's got it all, he's done it all. You know, but my brother, he'll come out for purpose, you see, and I believe that when he hears what the purpose is. And, you know, right now in this time, because of what happened in September 11th, I've had so many people call me now and said, you know what, we know that the things that have happened. And because of September 11th, it automatically seems to set the stage for groups like Sly and the Family Stone because of the messages that we used to have in our songs.
Definitely. You brought people together in a very special way, in a very special time. There was a war going on then as well. Let me ask you, what do you think about music today? And where do you think you fit in musically, or do you not even care about that?
Well, where do we fit in? Well, we've been flattered that so many artists, you know, have sampled our music, and that they've taken a liking to it, that they saw something that was positive to them and use it. You know, of course, it makes you feel good when you hear someone doing, you know, the thing that you've done. And today, I think we fit in the very same place we fit in years ago, because there are people that are put in. I believe people have purpose. You know, we have purpose. You know, our purpose then, when Sly wrote songs like "You Can Make It If You Try," you know, very significant. Stand, in the end, you'll still be you. You know, I want to take you higher. I'm thankful and thoughtful. You know, songs like that. I want, thank you for letting me be myself again. You know, well, there in that same light, that same message is viable today. It's important today, perhaps addressed in a different way, mm-hmm. but the message, the message and what it means to encourage people and to let people know, because you know I notice as you get a little older and live a little longer, you know, people need to be encouraged. People need to know that you know what. It doesn't matter what people say about your racism, your color, and this and that, or how tall you are, how short you are. You know, everybody, you know, is star. We are everyday people. You know, it has to come back around again, say it another way, because there's a new generation, mm-hmm. but it's the same thing, man.
Let me ask you this. Let's go back in time for just a moment. One of the things about Soul Patrol that makes it unique among its genre, you know, I hate that word, genre of sites, is that we have a lot of information on our site about Jimi Hendrix.
Mm-hmm.
And we recognize how important that he was and his music was and his legacy. You're part of the same legacy from the same period of time. Talk to us for a minute about people like that I would consider contemporaries of yours, like Jimi Hendrix, like the Chambers Brothers, like Richie Havens.
Chambers Brothers.
Okay, talk about the Chambers Brothers for a minute.
I love the Chambers Brothers. Mm-hmm. What I love about the Chambers Brothers is their heart. Mm-hmm. Okay, we knew them, man. The Chambers Brothers had a. They were one of the few groups that I feel in my spirit that was genuine from the heart. You know, and not a lot of artists were like that. Some people just
hold that thought.
Okay.
We're at 125th Street, and we're getting ready to get off of this train, and we're gonna
pick it up later.
We're gonna pick it up. The great, the legendary, Mr. Freddie Stone. We're back on the A train. We just got through at the Apollo Theater, taking a look at a little business, and we're going to pick up the conversation with a little discussion about the Chambers Brothers and Richie Havens and Jimi Hendrix and Santana and the whole Woodstock thing.
Well, you know, those names that you mentioned, Chambers Brothers, Richie Havens, Santana, as well as, I might add, you know, Creedence Clearwater, you know, Janis Joplin, and a lot of the other artists, The Who, Grateful Dead, a lot of those, the artists that are peers, and, you know, those that we work with, and sometimes we even share the same marquee, same kind of billing. The one thing that I really appreciate as I look back on it is that every group was unique in its own way. Every group had its own distinct sound. Every group had a particular message. And, you know, and in that time, it seemed like everyone was more or less speaking from the heart of different sides of America. Some approached those who were in turmoil, those who were suffering, and some of them were addressing that type of an issue. Sly and the Family Stone, we had a tendency to, or Sly had a tendency to feel the pulse of the people, and in our songs, we let the people know that we understood. You know what they were going through. We understood society, what the trials that certain segments of society had to put up with, or the things that we had to go through, and our main purpose at that time was to encourage, you know, not just our brothers and sisters, or if you want, you can say yeah, our brothers and sisters, because as you know, our group was as the some of the other artists termed the phrase innovative. They said that we were innovators. Well, our group was, you know, consisted of not just black but white, not just black and white, but we had ladies in it, and it turned out to where we were able, I guess providential, if you ask me, we were able to have a very good feel for what was going on in society because of what's going on in our group, and we knew that there's no reason under the sun that every nation, every kindred, every ethnic background could easily work together. And so when we were confronted with different issues, we were out when the Black Panther movement was out. We were out when people wanted other people to be Muslims. We were out when there was a deeper prejudice in the South. We were out when Dr. Martin Luther King was assassinated, and yet we were living witnesses that everybody can get along, everybody can work together, and everyone can be focused and do something positive and beneficial for the whole if they would just work together.
Let me ask you this, Freddie. We just got through walking through Harlem for the past 45 minutes or so. Now, I know you've been to Harlem before. Sly and the Family Stone has played the Apollo Theater before. What are your impressions in the year 2001, fast forward from the early 70s and late 60s, of what we saw today as we walked through the streets?
Number one, there's a lot more people. That's been 29, 30 years ago since the last time I walked the streets for Harlem. There's a lot more people, a lot more going on the streets. It seems to be the mindset of the African American seems to be more focused, the intensity of the African American has been turned up. Some good, some, in my view, some good, not so good, I sense that the warrior in the African American has risen to the top, so to speak. And we have champions now, and people are coming out regardless of what the establishment is saying, or regardless of what society has said. Somehow or another, we have been able to maneuver through all what has gone on in the past, and we're rising up. And as I said earlier, some of it looks good, some of it looks bad, but that's no different than anything else in society.
Well, I'm going to use that as a segue. This may not be a perfect segue, but it's going to be a segue nonetheless. to talk a bit about your new CD, because I want to talk about I want you to talk about how that CD is meaningful in the year 2001. And I know a lot of people haven't heard it. I'm one of the, I feel fortunate that I've been able to hear it and report on it. But I want you to talk about that CD and, talk about what it means to you.
Well, to me, the CD that I've been blessed to just finish recently has been out locally on the West Coast. It's called Everywhere You Are, and what I attempt to do on the CD is sort of remind man and woman, girl and boy, that they really are special. There's one song that's entitled, "You Got Everything It Takes to Make It." That you are beautiful in God's sight. And there's a lyric on there that says, there's no need to fake it. You don't have to be anybody else. You're going to be successful only as you be yourself. You got to be real, and be real all the time. There's another song, which is the title cut, "Everywhere You Are," reminding everyone that wherever you go, God is. And I believe in God, and I believe that there is an intelligence that is orchestrating everything that is being done. There's never a time when you are not without hope if you remember that there is someone who really has your best interest at heart. And so you don't have to lose courage. There's another song on there that says, "I see something good in you." And it's a reminder to let people know that I don't care what someone says about you. I don't care how you were raised. I don't care if you have been abused. You need to know that you've been put on this planet for a purpose, and that there is something good in you. It's another way of saying everybody is a star, and I think people should remember that. And many times some people are called to remind people about their sexuality, and that's their purpose. My call is to remind people about the inherent goodness that's in them, and that they don't have to look down, that there's something good inside of you. Don't worry about what people say. You got everything it takes to make it. You know, you are beautiful, and God sees you that way. So you might as well start looking at yourself the way God looks at you. And many times, in fact, every time, if you change your perspective, you know, that's the beginning of having a productive and successful life.
Okay, now, with all that being said, I don't want none of y'all to be scared by that, because the CD is still funky, too.
You know, I might add, you know, the Sly came to me one day and said, Freddie, we're going to have one group, and then let's start a group. You know, so I'm one of the co-founders, along with Larry Graham, and y'all know about him. Mr. Bay's man, Gregor Rico, great drummer, Jerry Martini, fantastic tenor player, Cynthia Robinson, great trumpet player, Rose, my sister, of course, beautiful, angelic voice and musician. When I did this CD, it was just going to be absolutely normal and natural for this CD to have the kind of flavor that the Family Stone had, because you don't walk away from who you are, and you don't even try.
It's a great album. You know, I hope you all can pick it up. Freddie's got a website that you can go visit, and he, on his website, he talks about the history of Sly and the Family Stone, and it's a little bit different than what the commonly held perception of it is. Even though everybody knows that it was a unified group, still, you know, yeah, here it is 30 years later, people kind of talk about it as if, you know, it's just one man and a backup band, when that was pretty far from the truth, right, Fred?
Well, yeah. Well, you know, Sly had a genius, a way of taking the taking a good look at each member of the band and knowing how to pull the best out of that particular musician. And he had a way of sculpting a song and then and leaving all the holes in the song for each musician to put his or her own self into the song. And so when you hear Sly and the Family Stone, you hear something that has the parameters of Sly and the mindset of Sly, and you see his vision. And then and the musicians and the music that you hear is each individual's spirit playing to the drum beat that has been set up by Sly, who is a genius. And like that song says, you know, he ain't heavy, he's my brother. Well, he is heavy, and he is my brother.
Can you tell everybody out there the URL for your website in case they want to go check it out?
Pardon me?
The URL for your website?
Oh, the our website is www.stonesism.com. By the way, Stone Sism, that's one word, Sism, C-I-S-U-M. That's just music spelled backwards. Okay, if you go there, I'm sure you'll be blessed. And everyone that goes there, thank you for letting me be myself again.
Thank you very much, Mr. Freddie Stone. On that note, I wouldn't dare say anything else.
Welcome to the SoulPatrol.net radio. Check it out. Can you handle that?
A midget standing tall, and the there's a midget standing tall, and the giant beside him about to fall. Hey, 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 they will try.
sometimes you never know who's listening to your music. Obviously, Barry was listening to Sly and the Family Stone, and in particular, Little Sister with "I'm the One." You're the one, I'm the one. You're the one, I'm the one. Your sweetness is my weakness. Very interesting stuff, but it's almost the same time signature and everything. So there you go. All right, moving right along. Looking at a lot of people that were influenced by Sly Stone. And of course, we are going to hear from the Family Stone. Yeah, we just heard from Little Sister as well, doing a You're the One Part 1 and Part 2. Also in the set, we heard Bob Davis, my late friend Bob Davis from Soul Patrol, soulpatrol-patrol.com. When the site was up, he interviewed Freddie Stone of Sly and the Family Stone. We heard an extended mix from another departed friend of ours, Henry Jew, and he did Stan. And also we heard I Get High on You. Freddie Stone, You Got to Love, Hey Music Lover, and a few other things that we heard, but we already talked about that. Kevin Amerson with you. This is 1 to 1. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you may be.